G'day and welcome to Partake. We're now on day 21 of our series Glimpses, looking at the story of the Bible in 30 days, from the time of creation through to the time of the fullness of redemption. Last time we looked at Jesus at prayer. Today we look at the events which followed on from that, leading to his death and burial. Jesus has been arrested now and brought to trial before the high priests. All the disciples have abandoned him. But Peter follows on from a distance, even going on to deny that he ever knew Jesus three times. The guards beat Jesus. Caiaphas, the high priest, condemns Jesus. And Jesus is taken to the Praetorium for trial in front of the Romans. This is where we will pick up the story. So firstly, let's look at Jesus' condemnation before the Romans. Reading from John chapter 19 and verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement. It was the day of the preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea, and he had the power to release or condemn any prisoner. It was he that made the decision and gave the order for Jesus to be crucified. Pilate gave in to the whims of the Jewish religious leaders and the baying crowd, permitting the flogging and the mockery of Jesus in the hope of shaming his accusers. Pilate even affirmed Jesus' innocence after the scourging. Jesus' refusal to answer stung Pilate into reminding Jesus of his Roman authority. Jesus, however, corrected Pilate's idea of authority and told him that although Pilate may have power on earth, his power did not reach beyond earth. Jesus knew that his work of bringing people to God into a loving relationship did not rest on the actions of a mere Roman governor. Pilate was more concerned with his own position than he was for justice. So Jesus was condemned to die. Now let's look at John chapter 19, verse 17 to 24, and Jesus' crucifixion. Carrying his own cross, Jesus went out to the place of the skull. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to his cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Jesus, bearing his own cross, was killed as a common criminal. Despite that, even when he himself was in utter agony, he showed concern for his mother Mary, committing her into the care of the Apostle John. The site of crucifixion was purposely chosen to be outside the city walls because the Jewish law forbade such acts within them. For sanitary reasons, the crucified body was often left to rot on the cross, a disgraceful reminder of what happened to criminals and serving as a deterrent to passers-by and onlookers. Jesus' own face had been beaten beyond recognition. The scourging had reduced the flesh on his back and his chest to something like raw hamburger mince. The whips used had pieces of glass and rocks stuck to the cord so as to inflict as much damage as possible, particularly when ripping back. Jesus had a crown of thorns pushed into his scalp. These thorns were big old Judean thorns, 1, 2, even 3 inches long. And then finally Jesus dies in utter agony, humiliation, and disgrace. The man God has died. Let's look at John chapter 19 and we'll read from 28 to 30. "Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In Jesus' final moments, he uttered, 'I'm thirsty,' and 'It is finished.' The desire of the Jews to fulfill their rituals was important because the Sabbath fell within the Passover festival. We know that Jesus had his legs broken, and this was to speed up the process of death. And when they pierced his side, the flow of blood and water proved that Jesus was really dead. At the cross, Jesus' mission is accomplished. Do you remember what the mission was? At the cross, this God-man, Jesus Christ, paid the penalty for all sin of all time. We'll come to look at how this can be later on in the series. Some people say that Jesus didn't die on the cross, but rather somebody was made to be his substitute. What a load of rubbish! This is impossible! Nobody could have been a substitute, or the Jewish leaders would have said so. The Romans were renowned for keeping strict discipline and regimen, and nobody would have been able to get in amongst the Roman soldiers and somehow substitute themselves for Jesus. Yes, we know somebody else carried the cross for him, but nobody but Jesus was nailed to that cross. Jesus died on that cross, and there was no substitute. And then Jesus was buried, reading in John chapter 19, verse 41 to 42. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which nobody had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Here we are told of Jesus' burial. Two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, buried Jesus in an unused tomb. The significance of it being unused, in which nobody had ever been laid, is to demonstrate that the body of Jesus at no point came into contact with the decay of a dead body. But that's not the end of the story. Oh no, there is more to come, as you will see. Thank you.